is going on, my Ghost Squad? Welcome to Tactical Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. We are live, as always, on YouTube and simulcasting, as always, on gunchannels.com. If for some reason you have been asleep at the wheel for the last 5 years, you may not know what Gun Channels is, but most of you do. There's a link over there. If you have never heard or been around Gun Channels, it is a wonderful pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment community that is basically the water cooler of the gun community. We've got 24-hour live lobby chats going on over there. If you have any questions or just want to talk guns, that's the place to do it 24 hours a day. Most of your content creators and show hosts that you like watching, we're all over on gunchannels.com. And we've got one of the lobby hosts here tonight. We're going to introduce these guys here in a second. But, you know, like I said, guys, if you're looking for questions, anything gun-related, there is so many guys that are knowledgeable over there and gals that can answer most of your questions. And speaking of which, let's go over there. You've got DT Pfeiffer, Smeggy's over there. We've got a jumping crowd on the YouTube side. Let's see. Let's say hey to everybody. Got Midnight Range. What's up, Mohawk Boy? Guess who? Sandy's out there. Hail team. He said he's waiting. The squad is waiting. Shane Milligan. What's up, Shane? Patriot in the Dark. Guess who? Now, Patriot and Guess Who had an interesting little conversation going back and forth. So, and Tack Daddy says he's definitely losing it. Tardot's out there. Rich White, the 1% Nighthawk. Let's see here. Man, you're having an interesting conversation there, Guess Who? Let's see here. Nighthawk says his daughter got her confirmation email from the GOA, so she's officially a member. Actually, Nighthawk won my 1 year on YouTube giveaway that I gave away a free year membership to the Gunners of America. Nighthawk already has one, but he wanted to gift it to his daughter, and I gladly did that. So congratulations to his daughter. She is now a member of the GOA. That's awesome. John Brown Productions is out there. What's going on, JB? Hey, there's Ghost Squid. Hey. Southpaw RX is out there. Clint Torres is out there. Casino Boss. D-Temp. Too Hottie. Too Live Moo. Jim Burgess, Outsider, A&A's out there. What's going on? Good evening to you, sir. Clover Tax out there. MW Tactical, Andrew Faulkner. The Travi Collect. Man, did we get rid of them? There's got to be like a pill or a cream for that. But the Travi Collectives keep seeming hanging around. Smeggy's out there. Road Call's out there. Tack Daddy's still trolling. The Romper Room every time. Yep, I see Jimmy and Dennis. And there's Jenny. Yep. I like to call out my viewers, and I appreciate everybody watching, so I like to give them a little shout out. Guys, what's up, Night Strike? You're out there. Guys, if you have any questions for myself or the panel, go ahead and tag me in the chat room. If you, I might miss it. I apologize if I do. I will try to keep up as best as I can. But Joe Ziello, what's up, Joe? But if you definitely want it read outside on the live on air, go ahead and email me at live@ghosttactical.us. live@ghosttactical.us. Send your emails to us. I Carry My Revolver says, Ghost, why are the left acting like the immigration laws been in place for Trump before Trump? Are they just desperate because they're running out of shit to debate with? I think what they're trying to do is, regardless of what they feel is passing them by or not, remember, guys, it is June. You have midterm elections in November. So most of the rhetoric you're going to hear for the next 2 or 3 months is not necessarily for them debating stuff that's actually important. It's setting up the midterm elections. They're trying to set their party's platforms on both sides. They're setting up their party platforms, and I think that they're realizing, yes, I do think they're realizing that they're running out of stuff to debate on. But right now, it is in full spin cycle right now when they're trying to get midterm elections handled in November. So just be aware of what's going on. A lot of what you're going to be seeing out there is preparation for November. Let's see here. Gunpowder's out there. Hello, kiddo. Let's run through the panel real quick before we get going. We have an esteemed panel with this, and we were talking earlier about Gun Channels, and we've got one of the co-hosts of Hit or Miss, but also The Cave. And if you haven't made it over to Gun Channels yet, do so. And when you do that, go check out Smeggy's Cave. So out of Michigan, we got the tactical snowman himself, Smeggy. What's up, brother?
Hey, how's everyone doing tonight?
Good. We've missed you. You know, I know you've been busy with work and all that stuff, but, you know, are you going to start trying to get some caves put up there anytime soon? I know people are missing that.
Yeah, definitely. I've just, like you said, I've just been out of it a bit, but I'm trying to get on gun channels more often. And when I do, I'll put up a Smeggy Cave, which is mostly just a bunch of friends getting around talking about guns. It's a little less structured than like a chat like this, but I try and at least run that one that's talking about guns and
more guns and pizza.
I mean, we all get distracted a little bit. It happens, but just a cool place to hang out. You know, it's like going to the gun show and talking with people.
It's hard to talk guns 24/7. It really is. We all have different interests in our lives, but I'm glad that your life is allowing you to step in a little bit and come back to us a little bit. We missed you, but glad to have you with us. From South Carolina, we've got Mike with Munition Weapons Tactical. You guys know him as MW Tactical. Mike, welcome to the show again, my friend.
Hey, thank you for having me. How's it going for you?
Oh, everything's great, man. Life is good. Life is really good, but we're gonna have a good time tonight, I think.
Hey, that's good to hear. I wasn't doing anything other than pounding the streets, running from the sheriffs, because the word got out that I'm doing the sponsorship for the sheriffs, raising the money for jiu-jitsu, and I was getting bombarded today, so I was pretty much running and dodging sheriffs all day.
Well, if you want to go ahead and talk about that briefly, you can, and talk about your projects and put some links out there in the chat if you'd like to.
Okay, sounds good. What I'm doing is I got a GoFundMe, and the GoFundMe is actually raising money to sponsor 3 deputy sheriffs here in Columbia, South Carolina, with giving them jiu-jitsu for a year at no cost to them or the police department. Outside of that, we're also looking to raise that same money to start a youth camp, buying all the guns and ammo to get that going. And also doing the voter registration to get more people out to vote. So it doesn't really matter who you vote for, as long as you vote so you can have a say-so. Because my saying is, if you didn't vote, you don't have a right to complain. So
I agree with that 100%. Exercise your right. Whatever way you want to go, at least exercise your right. That's what America's all about, is if you're not going to participate, then keep your mouth shut. That's just, I agree with you. Tack Daddy's out there saying he's going to go start a GoFundMe so he can sit around all day and smoke weed and write his book. That's what you do anyways, bro. What do you need a GoFundMe for?
Free weed.
All right. So speaking of the devil, out of Flo Rida himself, the tactical troll daddy himself, Kevin, the Tack Daddy. How are you?
I'm not trolling. I'm having a great night tonight.
Oh, it's early. You'll be trolling here before too long.
Maybe. Thanks for having me.
What's up, brother? Everything good with you?
Everything is copacetic. Got a local event. I'm coming up on Friday. I'm doing a local thing for some of the parents around here. Try to open
their eyes. Yeah, saw it on Facebook. Yeah,
just trying to – it dawned on me that – I don't want to take over. It dawned on me that there's a lot of guys that have had their eyes opened up down here, but at the same time will never go into a gun store to take a class. I'm trying to reach that crowd, and I've already got about 17 people confirmed. And I think they'll probably end up being about 20-25, which is great.
And I'm assuming that most of those people are people that don't want to be known or seen as gun people.
I actually don't know how many of them. I think about half of them are gun owners, and I think half of them truly want to understand what we're talking about when we talk about awareness, basic preparedness, some of the medical skills we could have on hand, you know, that kind of stuff. We're not talking guns tomorrow. It's actually to find out who are the gun people and go from there.
There you go. Well, good luck on that. I hope everything goes really, really well for you.
Thanks, man.
From the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Clover Tech. What's up, my man?
Hey, I love naked chicken tacos. Just saying.
So do I. Why the hell not?
Ah.
I don't know what the hell that means, but it sounds like fun.
It's a new Taco Bell thing. They'll take it away next week. So it's actually good.
They like to do that, don't they?
Yeah.
like the shit that sucks, they'll keep there for a month.
Oh, forever. Yeah. And, yep. and literally it's there a month when you get it. That's what it tastes like anyway. So yeah.
I really kind of started getting hooked about a month or two ago on the, what was it called? The beef. It was a burrito, but it was like extra beef and cheese. Oh, it was awesome. And they took it away like 2 weeks later. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We have breaking news from the state of South Carolina.
I've got to intervene as Smeggy's union representative.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Just saying.
That's my Walter Cronkite thing. That's not his hit or miss, Jim. It's that old news thing. Anyways,
what'd you say? Hit or miss Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock.
Oh Jesus, here we go. as we all know, Night Strike, we just bombarded him for months on why he doesn't have his concealed carry permit, and he used the excuse one time of, I don't have the money for it. So we all went on to Travis P11's channel one night. In about 20 minutes, we raised over $100 for him to go get his concealed carry permit done. This was months ago. Several months later, I think I want to say this is maybe in February or March, he actually does go take his class, takes his shotgun, and somehow passes the shooting part of it with a shotgun. But anyways, he passes the shooting part of his exam, sends his paperwork in, and he's been waiting. I'm not going to say patiently. He's been waiting very impatiently for his concealed carry permit. We've been ragging on him to tell him to go call him and email and all this stuff. Well, the news update is Night Strike says he talked to the head of the CCW department today. They said that he was approved. And it was sent out last week. So he should be getting his concealed carry permit from the state of South Carolina any day now. I don't know if that's a good thing or do we really want Jonas out there carrying a gun? I don't know. That's a scary thought. But he took it in January.
He's a long way from me, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. And the way he does shoot, I'm not really worried about him shooting me anyways, because you know, we all know that the safest place to be is right in front of Night Strike. Just joking, brother. I'm very happy for you. I'm glad it took you like 3 or 4 months, but at least you're going to be getting it soon, and you'll be part of the dark side now, and we won't rag on you quite as much. We'll rag on you about different things, but not about this. Is one thing you can check off the list as to why we're going to rag on you. He says he has bayonets. Dude, if you get anywhere near me with a bayonet, something's gone wrong with me, because you're not going to get within 30 feet of me with a bayonet. You come charging, you're going down. That's just the way it is. If you had to bring a bayonet to a gunfight, then Indiana Jones is going to win every time. All right, let's go. Before we get out of here, I want to make my first public service announcement. So if you guys will indulge me just 1 second, we'll let my lovely daughter do her thing.
Hey Ghost Squad, this is Sky. At Ghost Tactical, we understand the rising tensions across America regarding guns and gun control. It is more important than ever to be vigilant about our Second Amendment rights. We encourage everyone to stay informed and contact your local, state, and federally elected officials to make sure they are hearing your voice. They represent you, and without your input, their votes may be vulnerable to outside influences. We ask that you actively support any gun rights organizations such as Gun Owners of America, Second Amendment Foundation, Firearm Policy Coalition, and even the National Rifle Association. We understand you may not agree with all the politics involved with some of the organizations, but we encourage you to keep up with and support as many as you can.
All right. So, like I said, you know, there's so many out there that are great. We all know that I'm not a fan of the NRA. Many people aren't. But understand that there are people out there. It doesn't matter if you agree with them or not. If you find it in your heart to support any of these or all of these, please do. The more people that we have that we support to help us in the fight, the most important thing is doing that. I would say also, not just on a national level, but let's get involved in your local and state organizations as well. There might be something, your local range or gun shop, you know, a little local club, your state's going to have some organizations, but, You know, I would say the national organizations are extremely important, but right now, and we'll throw this to the room before we get going, but the states, that we're going to talk more about states tonight than national federal stuff, but the states are where I think that they're going to start seeing some issues with gun control. We've already seen it in several states. I think that the congressmen and the senators at the federal level kind of understand that going after the guns may not be a viable option for them right now. So they're going to try to push hard at the state level. So it is extremely important to make sure that we're supporting state level organizations as well. So All Day Targets, what's going on? Rick Nethery, Tina's out there. Zippy Psycho, I'm kind of trying to catch up. Rick Nethery's out there. Trying to catch up on some people that came in, almost 50 people. So I probably have missed. Maybe I apologize. But like I said, if you have a question for myself or the panel, go ahead and try to tag us in there. If not, most definitely email it to live@ghosttactical.us. Well, guys, what we're going to start talking about is some gun control bills that are out there that are interesting to say the least. Unfortunately, they're starting to gain some strength at some of the state levels, and we're going to start in the state of Oregon is kind of where we're going to start tonight. And the Oregon Supreme Court okays language and gun control proposal. And this is out of Portland. It says the Oregon Supreme Court announced the certification Monday, meaning supporters of the proposal can start collecting signatures. Named the Oregonians for Safe Storage and Reporting Lost Stolen Firearms would propose would require gun owners. Hold on, what in the world? To secure their weapons with a trigger locks or other mechanisms when they aren't in use or being carried. Violators could face up to $2,000. Among the chief petitioners was Jenna Yule and Paul Kemp, relatives of the. I don't understand why all of a sudden they think that it's going to be a bill that needs to go through all of the bureaucracy to put trigger locks on things. This was kind of the dumbest one that I've found, and I want to run through the room real quick and see what you guys think of putting trigger locks on. And once again, all of these things are so questionable because how are you going to enforce it? Are people going to come into your house and see if all of your guns have trigger locks on there? I think what we're trying to do is be responsible. Gunners are going to do most of this stuff anyways, but is it a waste of time or is this just something to get on the books? I'll start with you, Smeggy. Is this something that's just, they're trying to get anything on the books right now in Oregon or what?
I think so. They're always messing with us as much as they can. But, God damn, I'm sorry. I just broke the clip on my flashlight. That was very distracting.
That's not good.
But anyways, they're always messing a little bit here and there, just trying to take little pieces. As far as how are they going to know, I don't think they're going to come knock on your door and do door-to-door inspections. However, I think that's one of those, if they're there for something else, like maybe, you know, you had some other little issues or something, they're going to pile that on. So it's like, oh, we're here, you know, whatever. Noise complaint, you're throwing a big party, you're going to get a ticket for that. Oh, by the way, here's like a gun sitting in a cabinet without a trigger lock on it or something. Like they're just, you know, they're going to mess with you a little bit. Or the other thing, which would be, you know, a little more tragic or whatever, but if something happens, they go back in time and be like, oh, well, how'd your kid even get the thing in the first place? You didn't have a trigger lock. So not only did some accident happen or something got misused or whatever, so already something sad happened. Now you're getting in trouble for it. It's like, well, that never should have happened in the first place. Like now you're getting in trouble and you just lost your kid or your neighbor or, you know, whoever. So,
yeah, I mean,
I am not for any type of safe storage laws because I'm with you. Most people, you know, they are going to be responsible with how they store their guns. I mean, on a person-to-person level, we can be like, hey, accidents are already going down. We can encourage each other to, you know, lock something up or whatever. But in my situation, I live in a house by myself. Are you telling me I'm going to get in trouble because I don't put a trigger lock on my gun? I can have a loaded gun sitting on the coffee table for 2 weeks in a row. It's never going to get touched. You know what I mean? Like, so don't tell me how to store my stuff.
Yeah, and that's my biggest thing is to me, this is just a bunch of bullshit, really, to where I think, like you said, they're just trying to find something or anything to hold on to keep the quote-unquote gun control debate relative. And if Oregon is going to as far as trigger locks and safe storage, that kind of tells me, now I might be out of touch with Oregon. I had to talk with Yankee or someone up there, but to me, it seems like if they're going to this measure, that shows me that maybe possibly they're losing the fight up there. So, Mike, I don't know with the gun control and the trigger safe storage and trigger lock situation is in South Carolina, but explain to me, if you would, and you tell me, how would they enforce it without being an illegal search? I mean, because do you guys have safe storage laws or trigger control law, trigger lock laws in South Carolina at all?
No, we don't have it. We don't have it here. But what it sounds like to me is nothing more than this is one of those laws they'll put on the books for now. 2 years from now, we'll forget about it. Then later on, they're going to invade another law that now I can come in your house at any given time and just do a random search. Oh, you don't have this on. That doesn't make any sense. Why would I do that? Oh, it's already in the books. So that's one way to look at it, you know, like the whole snitch program, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. But
no, I think you're right. There's some talk going on here in the chat about noise complaints are not a reason for a search, but you know, they're just trying to prosecute idiots that let kids get guns. And Philo hits it right on the money, in my opinion. This is just something so they can mess with gun owners. And I think he's right. I think there's, what's up, user? I'm sure Kevin doesn't agree. I think a lot of it is but a couple years later, not only add to some of these things that are out there, but they can come back and say, well, we've already started passing some legislation back in 2018. So since we got some of this passed, then maybe we should start trying to get more. So
they've never done that before. They've never come back and said, well, we did this in this year, therefore we're going to do this now. It's never been done.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with this one because we're sitting here and we're saying that as responsible gun owners, we all have a problem locking up our guns when they're not in use.
I don't think that's what we're saying. I think we're saying is we don't need any legislation to tell us to do that. I think that most responsible gunners do that on their own. We don't need a government.
Not true. Almost all of those accidental shootings that happen where a kid comes home from school and another buddy comes over and the next thing you know, they got dad's guns. That's because some stupid idiot didn't lock up his guns. It's most do, but not all. Not even close to all.
Well, would you consider that?
I have a question for Smeggy real quick on storage. So yeah, that's sure. Cool. And I totally get what he's saying as being a single responsible adult. No issue there. However, what about when you go away on vacation for 3 weeks and you're not taking that gun with you? You don't think it should be required that someone has some place to actually lock that up so no one can come and steal it?
I don't think it should be required. I think it's a good idea. I certainly don't leave an AK on the coffee table when I'm on vacation or whatever. So again, I can make choices for myself. And I think that you're right. It is a good idea, but you know, and this is just talking about trigger locks though. It's not talking about putting it in a safe.
Let them finish.
Sorry. I got cut off there.
It's all good. I just was saying it's, you know, trigger locks specifically.
Yeah. I don't
know. I mean, we're putting in a safe is one thing.
Yeah.
No, I think saying that we're going to legislate and make it so that every inanimate object gun that's sitting on a coffee table has an additional level of security that you have to go through just because we think that makes guns safer is stupid. I think we'll all agree on that. However, responsible gun owners agreeing when they buy a gun that they're going to keep it safe and kids are not going to have access to it, and all of those other things that you get with that safety thing that comes with every gun and with the lock that comes with every gun in America, you know, we all get that lock. We all have a drawer full of locks, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or a box somewhere.
I use them to, you know, lock up my bike or something.
Right. But that's because we all understood when we bought the gun that the right thing to do is to keep it locked up when it's not in use. whether it's just with a simple lock or in a safe or whatever. So again, I don't think states should have the right to tell you you have to do that, but I have no problem with having the discussion because as gun owners, once again, people slip through the cracks and don't get that basic, hey, lock your goddamn gun up.
Well, sure, and that's the whole point is I don't think that there's going to be – you're going to take a poll of a million responsible gunners and sit there and say, do you believe that guns should not be locked? You're not going to find one. We all believe that guns should be locked up when they're not attended to, and especially if you have kids in the house and all that. But my point is do we need Big Brother telling us to do that? Because here's my problem is this. Here's where I think it's coming from, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will, but – I don't think it has anything to do with people trying to go and look for guns that are unsecured. I think what's going to happen is you're going to have situations where the police is called out to your home for a robbery, or your neighbors have called because of a party or a loud noises, and you have a disturbance in the neighborhood. Police show up. At this point, if they see a firearm out in the open, they now have a law that they can go to instead of saying, dude, what the hell? You're being stupid. Now they have a law and say, you're just going to have to pay $2,000. I really think that's what's going to happen is it's kind of like with a seatbelt law. They can't pull you over for a seatbelt, but if they pull you over for speeding and you're not wearing your seatbelt, they can add on that additional ticket to it. So I do think that they're trying to work something to where you're going to try to punish it. Do I agree with it? No, but here's my point also. If you're a responsible gunner and you don't keep your gun secured, then you're just asking to be ridiculed either by the law or by your fellow gun owners because you're making all of us look bad. So, Clover, I want to get your thoughts on this. Legislation to mandate trigger locks and safe storage. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I want to ask, are we tackling the second part of this, proposition or whatever they call it, petition? Are we going to cover it here later?
We're going to cover it here later. Yeah. I just want to kind of go into this first part. Yeah. But if you want to start it, then go for it. We can transition into it right now if you want to. I have no problem with that.
Okay. Hang on. I got to.
You got to find it again.
No, I had a window. I had another window up and it was playing one. You know how it plays the stupid video ads? God, I couldn't hear nothing for the video ad. Like, yeah. Go away. Okay. On the storage and control portion of this, it's pretty apparent by the wording to me that they're looking for the clout to penalize parents or guardians or whatever, that let underage kids get access to firearms and bad things happen. It alludes to locked containers, which could mean a gun cabinet, could mean a safe, could mean other things.
Yes, drawer, something could be. I mean, it could be locked.
Yeah, just behind, you know, basically some type of lock and key. I mean, not readily accessible. In many states, what I'm seeing here in many states, I mean, this is almost pretty much the case. I mean, how else are you going to keep them away from kids if you don't lock them away and you're supposed to, you know, keep them away from the kids, right? You get a little pamphlet whenever you buy a firearm. So on this particular part of it, I honestly don't see a lot of concern. I don't think it's not going to give them the right to just come in and randomly search. And I don't honestly see them coming back and putting that into play. Going into the second part, the second part does give me a little bit of concern, I guess, if we're ready to go into that.
Anyway. Let's go for it. Go for it. Yeah.
The second part deals with you have to report your firearm stolen within 24 hours.
Yep.
What if you're out of town or whatever? Well, how's that? What if you don't realize that it's missing? What if they've broken in and they get one, you know, you get a break in and they've got one. I mean, there are people that own multiple firearms and might not miss just one if let's say a relative with sticky hands picks it up, or even a kid or a kid's friend or something at some point. you know, they're there. You're out on the range. You're shooting. Obviously, the cabinets may be open during that time. They're under the supervision at that time. But, you know, they slide something into their book bag or their pocket or whatever, and you don't actually, you know, I don't know. I mean, that gets in, to me, gets into a much stickier situation.
Well, and my opinion on the whole reporting is, I think that this is just me, and this might be my tinfoil hat. Reporting anything when it comes to firearms, whether you want to call it a 24-hour window after being stolen or whatever, I think that they realize that they're never going to have a national gun registry. Mm-hmm. So I think they're trying to do sort of different ways of kind of trying to track guns and all of that stuff. So yeah. I can't imagine the someone sitting in a chamber somewhere saying, this is a great opportunity to really crack down on guns being stolen. Yeah. I don't think that was, I think the decision is any way that we can try to get someone to have to call in and report a gun of any kind of sort, a registration of any kind. I think that's what they're trying to do, which is crazy. Now, Smiggy, I heard you want to cut in. What do you say about this?
Oh yeah. I think this is one of their two-step plans. You know, we've all heard the joke, especially with like California and having to register your, you know, assault weapon, whatever that means and whatnot. You know, we all heard the joke, I lost it on a boat, which implies, you know, they come looking for you, like it's already registered or something. They come looking for it later and then you go, oh, I don't have it anymore. I lost it. Like if they're coming to confiscate it. Now, if you do that, let's say, you know, you register the thing 6 months later, you get a felony, whatever. They come to take your gun. You go, oh, I lost it. They'll be like, oh, well then how come you didn't report that you lost it? Like now you're in trouble for that. So it's not, I don't think anyone ever actually uses the boating accident thing. I think it's just a cliche kind of joke or whatever, but that's what they're kind of defending against. And I did have a question also. When it says 24 hours, does it say like upon knowing, like finding out it's missing?
Known or worries me is it says new or should have known. And the should have known there worries me a little.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because that's an interpretation thing. You might think I should have known, you know, before, but I didn't. Right. So. Yeah, I don't like that part at all, and I do agree that I think that, you know, there's no, I kind of get the premise, not that I completely agree with it, but the first part with the storage, I mean, we all agree that we should be doing that. So I get the premise of we should all be doing that, and I get the premise of that gives them some teeth to, you know, maybe enforce some stuff later on. Should an event occur where somebody that's not supposed to gets a hold of one, I get that. The second part, I completely don't understand. It's pointless in a way because if it's stolen, what I mean, other than for recovery purposes, potential recovery purposes, what good does that do? I mean, they're not actively going out and searching for stolen firearms. So, you know, if it's used in a crime and they go, well, you know, where'd you get this? And he's like, I stole it. And they go back and they go, well, this person didn't report it stolen. You know, well, now you've got two criminals. You know, that's, I don't know. It just, that's stupid to me.
Right. You're victimizing the victim. Like you already got something stolen from you and now you're getting in trouble for it.
Kind of. But, you know, then again, I don't envision a world. I mean, as soon as I knew something was stolen, I would probably report it stolen in the hopes that somebody tried to be stupid and pawn it or whatever and I could get it back. So no. I think most people probably do report it. Just like most people, I think probably, you know, I'm not going to say most people lock their stuff up, but most people probably handle their firearms in a fairly secure way. So
exactly. You know, I actually, my family had a couple of firearms stolen from a vacation property. And, you know, it was one of those that's, my dad reported it as soon as he basically went up there and saw the house was broken into. But it was just for exactly that. If those serial numbers ever pop up in some type of, you know, search or whatever, like they get found later and they go through a transfer or, you know, they get found at a crime or whatever, maybe they could be returned to us. And especially the shotgun that was my great grandpa's. Like, that's the one I want. The thing's worth $20, but to me, it's priceless.
Well, so, I know of a guy that got his. He got his Smith and Wesson. He got his Smith and Wesson 44 revolver back after like 15 years. It was stolen like for 15 years. It was gone, and then one day it popped up.
Which, this kind of this might be a little bit sidestep, but I'm just curious what you guys think of this, if you don't mind. Do you keep track of all your serial numbers of all your guns somewhere, either electronically or on paper, or maybe a couple different locations?
I don't own any firearms. What are you talking about?
Lost them on a boating accident. I understand.
I lost my boat in a firearm accident. It's really.
Can I address this and the people that want to imply that I'm ignorant? Listen. For you to go down the road of, if we do this, then it's going to set up a list, then they're going to come confiscate your guns just because. If you don't think they already have a list, if you don't think that when you do a NICS check, that goes somewhere and that's being stored somewhere, then you're the ignorant one. They don't need to impose a law to put you on a list as a gun owner. They already have that list. So cut the bullshit in the chat when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, but it's not going to be complete and accurate, I don't think. I mean, there's no way for it to be in states that...
For what purpose? Because they're going to come knocking on doors trying to take guns back? It's never going to fucking happen.
No, but I do believe, and it's just me, I do believe that the police or the state, whatever you want to call it, let's say you get... someone calls for a domestic disturbance at your house, the police comes out, they're going to pull up your address. It's going to sit there and say known gun owner. I really do think that's kind of at the base of what they're looking for is, and I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think that a lot of it is when law enforcement goes somewhere, they kind of want to know maybe possibly who could be a threat. I would like to think that that's as far as it goes, but we all know that's probably not where it's going to go.
It's just the gun community has been compromised since the 30s, except that we got concealed carry permits around the entire country instead of just one state, which is where it was in the 60s.
Right.
We got suppressors. We got arm braces. The assault ban weapon didn't get renewed. And it's right. A slippery slope going the other way. Get the fuck out of here. I'm sick of this nonsense. It's all, again, it's not me saying I'm compromising or having conversations. I'm saying let's have a real conversation as gun owners. This whole, oh my God, they're gonna take away a bump stock, therefore we're all fucked and they're gonna come to my house and take my guns. Stop it.
I have a tendency to agree with part of your statement there, and I'll let Mike chime in on this in a second, but I do believe that we have been put on the defensive for so long that it's almost like we're permanently there. And I'm not saying that we need to think that everything's getting better. Because I don't know if it's getting better, but I don't think it's getting any worse. I think that there are people that are out there trying to make it worse, but I don't think that it's going to be near as bad as a doomsday that other people think. That being said, you need to stay vigilant, but I think we do have to take a step back and remember, like you said, there have been some very, very positive things that have happened. And I'm going to go into this really quick because one of these is a positive thing out of Ohio, which is interesting. I'm sure you guys are well aware that Governor John Kasich, who ran for president and actually made a pretty strong run, at least at the Republican primary level, has proposed a bunch of gun control, I don't say anti-gun, but gun control bills where he's supported and set his cronies out there to write some stuff. But Columbus, Ohio, the Republican-dominated Ohio House, appears to be ready to loosen state gun control laws, defying Governor John Kasich's call for stricter gun monitoring. The legislation, House Bill 228, says that the Stand Your Ground bill, which would eliminate the duty to retreat before using force of self-defense, is getting a lot of promotion out there, a lot of support. They're saying that it would also shift the burden of proof. This is a huge one right here, in my opinion. This is huge. At least in the state of Ohio, this would also shift the burden of proof in a self-defense case from the defense to the prosecution. Ohio is the only state to have such a rule and would allow residents or groups to challenge local gun control ordinances in court, among other changes. Kasich said that he would veto this bill if it came through, but House Republicans have said that they will have much more than the 60 votes required to override Kasich's veto. Now, I think it's awesome that they've got the votes. I think it's going to be great that they're going to expand the Stand Your Ground and change the wordage that forces the burden of proof on the prosecutor. My question to you, I'm going to start with you, Mike, since you've been quiet for a little bit. I haven't let you talk yet. But my question to you in Ohio is does anybody here have a problem that the Republican governor and a man who was very close to winning the ticket in the primary in 2016 is the one who said he's going to veto pro-gun legislation? Am I the only one that's upset with this, Mike? I want to hear your take on that.
I don't know too much about that because this is my first time hearing this.
Yeah.
But like you saying, what you actually just put together is not painting a good picture for the outcome, the end product. Let's put it like that.
Right.
So yes, I would have a problem with that as well. But in the same sense, this is why we need people to get out and vote, because as long as there are people arguing the two sides, guns are evil, guns are not evil. Well, bump stocks are evil. Well, bump stocks are bad. And if you keep going back and forth like that with somebody, you're never going to get anything accomplished, because the bottom line is the same people who are looking to write these laws and put them into effect, they have yet to step foot on a range or actually know anything about a firearm or the mechanics of it.
Yeah, no, and you're right. And my biggest problem is I love the fact that the Republican-dominated House in Ohio has said we're going to expand the Castle Doctrine. It's basically what you're doing. And ANA out there says that they in Ohio, they got the Castle Doctrine a few years back, and this is going to apply to any dwelling you inhabit, including your car. Now, in a lot of states, it also includes hotel rooms that you might be staying in and all that. I don't know the exact details in Ohio, but in a lot of states, it's basically anywhere you are, not just your house. If you're in a hotel room or wherever, that's included in the Castle Doctrine. I love the fact that they're trying to expand the Castle Doctrine and the Stand Your Ground. I really love the fact that they're trying to shift the burden of proof to the prosecutors, where they're basically admitting that it was a guilty until proven innocent until now, if this gets passed. Now it's at least you're going to be innocent until proven guilty, which is the way it's supposed to be. My biggest issue, guys, and I'm going to open this up to the whole room, Kevin, Smeggy, Clover, does anybody else have a problem that the Republican governor of Ohio says that he will veto this if it comes across his desk? I don't understand. And going back to what you just said, Tack, is we have had some positive things. This could be a positive thing. And we have one of our own saying that he's going to veto it if it comes across his desk. I don't understand that. Can somebody enlighten me with this?
Well, it's Kasich. It shouldn't be surprising at all. That's all I'll say about it.
And saying that's, you know, I've said it a bunch before. I don't like the idea of, you know, it's us versus them, Republicans versus Democrat or whatever, because of just this. It's if you're pro-gun, I like you. If you're anti-gun, I don't like you. You know, a pro-gun Democrat is probably more likely to get my vote than an anti-gun Republican. Even though I might disagree on other aspects, I'm a 90% one issue voter. You know, so I'd like to live in a world where both sides are pro-gun. We don't have to worry about this. But until then, I'm going to call balls and strikes as I see them. So, yeah, I have a problem that he wants to do this, but it's not extra because he's Republican. It just it's the same amount as if a Democrat said he was going to veto it. I just don't like it because it's anti-gun.
Yeah, and Clint out there saying that 60% of the Republican Party is a bunch of cucks. There's a lot to that. I'm sorry. Someone's getting ready to say something. I cut you off. I heard something. Maybe I did not. Maybe I'm hearing things in my head. My friends in my head are very, very important to me, and sometimes I hear them talking when they shouldn't be, but I apologize. No, like I said, I get the fact that I'm not up in the north, so I really don't – the Midwest, I get the case it may not be the poster boy Republicans. I get that. But – when you run and is elected as a Republican and you know that one of your party platforms is being pro-gun, whether or not he is going to veto it or whether or not he supports her, one thing is that. But to publicly come out and say, I'm going to veto this if it comes across, to me is scary because Like I said, we have to take every win we can get. Go ahead.
I don't know this, but is he a lame duck?
He very well could be a lame duck. I mean, very well could be. He might be looking for a position later on in life. I don't know. Let's see here. I don't know. A&A out there, you're from Ohio. Is Kasich a lame duck out there? Let me know. I don't know. I didn't do my research on that. And Rich White says he was never pro gun or pro 2A. He voted for the Clinton assault weapons ban. I get that. But once again, my whole point is if you're a politician and you're going to run as a Republican, and if you're elected as a Republican, then please follow the Republican Party platform. That's all I'm saying. That's what's driving me nuts are all of these rhinos, as we're going to call them. I just don't understand how you're going to take the people. And I get it's politics. I understand. I'm not dumb. I understand it's politics, and there are some states that you're never going to win as a Democrat. You're always going to win if you're Republican. So everyone runs a Republican so they have a chance of winning. I get it. But my God, man, you've been in office there for a long time. You are, for all intents and purposes, you are in the spotlight of the Republican Party. Don't betray it publicly. That's just my thing. I'm glad I don't live in Ohio because I would go nuts. A&A says he thinks he will do whatever he thinks to keep him in office. Well, that's the whole question is he actually running for office again, or is he a lame duck? Because if he's a lame duck, then all bets are off. If he's running for office again, then he might as well go ahead and run as a Democrat because
I've got it here. It says his term ends January 14, 2019. And he is ineligible for re-election. He is a lame duck.
He's not eligible?
Yeah.
There you go. He's lame duck. Yeah. So, like you said, Kevin, you were talking about positive things. And I think that is a positive thing that, you know, they're out there. They're saying that we have this. On the second part of the article here, they're talking about is this Smith, who's a House Republican, says, philosophically, I think our caucus probably lines up with where I'm at, which is there is no gun law in America that's going to stop a lot of this, talking about criminals and crazies. I mean, criminals don't abide by the law by their very nature. So it's not to say that we're insensitive to it or don't want something on it. It's just people are very protective of the Second Amendment. That's the whole point. And it's nice to hear a politician come out and say that because typically they don't want to say those words publicly. We are all very sensitive to anyone dying. We don't want any crime in America, much less crime that has to do with a firearm. But let's not be ignorant enough to think that the more laws you pass, all you're doing is weakening the community. You're weakening the populace. You're weakening America because the criminals, they don't give a shit what laws are on the books. They're going to do what they're going to do, and they're probably going to do it illegally anyways. That's why they're criminals by definition. You're also not going to stop crazies. They're all going to be out there. So why are we going to try to restrict in any way, shape, or form guns in America? All you're doing is not allowing us to defend ourselves and our family and our property and all of that. So that's what bothers me is when I see a Republican, I don't care if he's a rhino or not. If you're designated as a Republican, you do not ever need to publicly come out and say, I will veto any, you know, pro-gun legislation. That's what really got me with this article. So I'm sorry about for my rant right there. Let's kind of check in. Anybody have anything right there while I'm reading the chat? You guys have anything to add on this particular one? Go for it.
Also mentioned Florida and the gun laws that changed 4 months ago or 3 months ago. Pretty much everyone across the board agrees that whoever gets elected next is going to change those right back, just for the record.
Yeah.
It's well, still Florida. Everyone forgets that Florida. Yeah. Florida was referred to as the gunshine state for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I'll bring up since we're talking about Ohio, a couple of ones I see, a couple of House bills I see that if you're out there, you're in Ohio, and I guess everybody probably needs to be paying attention to. I don't know what kind of chance they have because I'm not on the ground there, obviously. But one is HB 153 says prohibit imitation firearms that look real. So that's kind of a weird one. And then we've got HB 33, which is mimicking the Oregon thing again. It's a mandate safe stores to prevent children from accessing guns. And then HB 151 says restrict the sale of firearms and require background checks for buyers. So no private sales, basically, is what it's saying there. And I haven't read those bills, admittedly. I was just pulling up a list here, so those are gotcha headlines. Need to definitely look into those bills a little deeper.
We're going to go over here real quick, and before we go on to the next one, we're going to take one more public service announcement. Hope you guys. Dolphort's just smarter than a soundboard, apparently, and I'm not always that. So let me see if I can find the button. Here we go.
Hey, Ghost Squad, this is Sky. We here at Ghost Tactical would like to continue the trend of becoming more involved in any gun safety and training. We encourage everyone, no matter your skill level, to continuously look for training in your local area. We think that taking a gun safety course every other year is important. We also believe that taking classes and training for self-defense and home defense are extremely important. Make sure to go looking for classes and training opportunities when you can. This not only helps you become more proficient with your firearm, but it helps support your local instructors and Second Amendment community as a whole. Back to you, Ghost.
All right. The last one we're going to talk about is gun bills advance in Pennsylvania. I'm going to read a couple things real quick. This is the House committee has approved a package of bills to help police and families prevent suicides and gun violence. A lot of it are red flag stuff, but we're going to go through it real quick. House Bill 2060 will require people convicted of domestic violence to surrender their firearms within 48 hours instead of 60 days. The guns would have to be turned over to law enforcement, an authorized gun dealer, or an attorney, not to a family member or friend. House Bill 2227 would temporarily take away a person's right to buy or own guns when they've been deemed a danger to themselves or others. Police and family members could seek an extreme risk protection order similar to a protection from abuse order for 3 months up to a year. Another proposal is House Bill 2275 would expand the list of serious crimes that prohibit gun possession to include people who attempted, conspired, or solicited someone else to commit the crimes. House Bill 2463 would make changes to the gun rights of people who had an involuntary mental health treatment, including reducing. Now, this is the only one that I think is actually going to be good, including reducing the ban on firearm possession from a lifetime to 6 months. Now, obviously, a firearm possession bans is going to be bad anyways, but it was used to be a lifetime ban, and now they're going to try to make it to 6 months. Could be okay. Under House Bill 273, people could choose to sign up for a program that bars them from buying guns, and they could voluntarily surrender their guns to state police for safekeeping. Why in the hell do we need a bill that says, hey, I don't want to own guns? Then fucking don't buy guns. Does there need to be a law on the books for this? Sorry about that, but first thing I want to talk about is reducing from a lifetime to 6 months if you were temporarily deemed involuntarily mentally incapable for whatever reason. You might have had some issues and all that. But my biggest thing is right here.
I support
here.
That fully. See how flexible I can be?
Yeah, yeah, there you go. mine is right here is this. Voluntarily or temporarily take away a person's right to buy or own guns when they have been deemed a danger to themselves or others. Here's the biggest one. Police and family members could seek an extreme risk protection similar to a protection from abuse in 3 months to a year. Red flag. Okay. You call it what it is. It's a red flag. How about this one? This is the one that's scary. It would expand the list of serious crimes that prohibit gun possession to include people who attempted, conspired, or solicited someone to do crimes. So basically, if you even thought about doing a crime and you've actually, you know, try to even think about doing something, they're going to try to put you on a list where you can't own firearms. Okay, sorry about my rant. I'm going to go here. I'm going to start with Smeggy first. What the hell is going on in Pennsylvania right now?
I have no idea. It sounds like they're crazy. Maybe right the people there. That's most crazy. Acting are going to be allowed to own firearms.
Well, I mean, how are you going to sit there and say that if you even, you know, attempted, conspired, or solicited to do crimes?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Okay, to be fair, they would have to have evidence of that in order to do it. So, like, if they catch you trying to hire a hitman or something, well, you should be in trouble for doing that anyways, for conspiring to do, right. You know. But right. You're right. It could be, now that I say that out loud, it could be, you know, a coworker overhears you saying anything to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to steal that thing. Well, that's a crime. He doesn't know if you're being serious or you're joking around or whatever.
There would be an investigation. It wouldn't be instant justice and go take all your shit.
Well, yeah, so to be fair, I'll give them that. I'm hoping they would at least have some type of evidence that you legitimately are planning some type of crime, in which case then if you can catch a bank robber before he robs the bank – and you have enough evidence to prove he was going to do it, like good, catch him. I'm okay with that.
Do you have a house bill number on that?
House bill 2275.
Okay. That's very misleading from what I'm reading on 2275.
Okay.
It says right here that 2275, looks to update the state's criminal code to close a dangerous loophole, to be clear. And to correct erroneous information published in other outlets, this legislation only affects convicted felons based on certain legal definitions. It has no impact on law-abiding citizens. So what they're talking about, you have to be convicted of conspiracy. Not there's a loophole that was created supposedly by the Supreme Court there in 2011. There was a loophole created with that if you were convicted of attempted conspiracy or solicitation of murder, rape, or burglary, then you could still potentially legally purchase and own a firearm.
There you go.
So that's why we have to read bills sometimes.
Yeah. Well, if I can just jump in here real quick, because I'm about to take off. So I just wanted to say, you know, thanks for the link. Thanks for letting me join. Obviously, I'm going to go hit up Hit or Miss Tuesday at 9 o'clock. But since this is a legislative update type show, I would like to remind everyone or tell them for the first time, on the second of every single month, every second matters, I put out a special video updating every single thing that's happened that I know of in the past month. Stuff introduced, passed, vetoed, voted on, signed, whatever, state and federal level. So I would encourage people to please head over to my channel, Smeggy42 on YouTube. And, you know, if you just look for Every Second Matters, you know, they're 15, 20-minute videos, I think you'll be a lot more informed. So I encourage everyone to please do that.
Yeah, Smeggy, I appreciate you stopping by. Yeah, Smeggy does a great job on Every Second Matter stuff. He does. He goes into depth on everything that's happened in the last month. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure you go check it out. A lot of us do Every Second Matter stuff on there, but as far as the legislation goes, Smeggy's very, very good at it. One of the things that we want to talk about real quick, and yes, that the whole thing about reading the bill. It is a very good idea, and there is a part of me that is glad that I didn't read that bill, because I don't mind being looked like an ass. I look like an ass every day. But that's the very, very good point, because I see a headline and I read an article, and you may not know the backstory. And I think that happens a lot, especially with our side. And if you guys are out there and you get offended by this, I apologize, but it is what it is. There are a lot of people in the gun community that are very ultra sensitive, and they read a headline or they read something, and I've been guilty of this. We've all been guilty of this one time or another, that we automatically go into what the hell mode, and we don't always find out the information. So it is important to always find out all sides of the story, whether we like it or not. Having all the information is what makes us more intelligent. The other side only uses part of the information, and we ridicule them on a daily basis. So you're right. I'm glad that you guys found that out, and it is a very good thing that it's just clarifying a loophole. So that is a good thing. What I want to do real quick, guys, is I know hit or miss is getting ready to start here in a few minutes. I do want to bring up something that happened Sunday night over on Mohawk Boys channel. He had a, I'm going to put a link out here in the chat. It is a it was a great chat. I was on it for a little bit. I got there pretty late. Didn't get home till late, but I jumped in. He had a really good panel, and one of them was Guess Who? And Guess Who is a visually impaired pro-gun person that we all know, and they're trying to they're going to announce who it is in a week. Next Sunday, but they has a giveaway going on right now. So go ahead and the link there in the chat, go check out Midnight Range TM's channel. He's got a couple of videos out there on he's got a lot of videos, but the chat from Sunday night was a great one. He's doing a giveaway with some really cool items to give away as well. So go check out that video, go support him. And it's a really cool thing. He had a great host. I know who the guest is. Some of us know who it is, and you guys might be very surprised when you find out who it is, but they're trying to have a little competition to see who the mystery guest was. But go check out Midnight Range TM. I want to talk a little bit about real quick before we go about a new gun shop that's opening up in my area, and it's kind of cool. It's a new gun shop. They're having a grand opening in a week or two, so I'm going to be they've asked me to come over there and do some stuff, but I'm going to go live at a grand opening of a gun shop, and it actually has a range attached to it. That's a small range. I think it's one of the things where you can just go and try out the gun. It's nothing major, but I'm really excited about that, so be on the lookout for doing that. I'm always great to see new gun shops right now because business, not only business is down, but usually the summertime, at least here in Arkansas, the summertime is when the gun business is really down because no one's hunting during the summertime. So it's really nice to see that there's a new gun shop and range opening up here in the next couple of weeks. So I'm really looking forward to that. Before we get out of here, I do want to run through the room and let everyone plug what they got to plug. And if you have anything that you want to kind of follow up on or talk about before we get out of here, now is the time. So we're going to start with Mike. Mike, what you got going on? I know you talk about your plugs, but you got any podcasts or anything coming up that you need to announce?
Well, you know, every week I do the Black Man with the Gun podcast with Ken Blanchard. So if you want to go check that out, you can download it on iTunes and Stitcher and any place that a podcast is being broadcasted. And he also has an app, so you can do a lookup for the Black Man with the Gun app. Outside of that, we bring an Aiming for the Truth to Columbia, South Carolina. Once again, if you're looking for a scope, we have a long-range Leupold with a Kestrel for $50, and then a variable optic, that's a Bushnell, for $30. That's a steal you can't beat. So either way you look at it, even when you give, you're still winning because you're helping out a cause that's Aiming for the Truth with Kevin Dixie. Outside of that, like I said earlier, I'm doing the community projects here in Columbia, South Carolina. The GoFundMe is gofundme.com/m-w-tactical. Donate what you can spare. Let's get this going because, like I said, a lot of people have been hitting me up today. And even Ghost donated today. So thanks a lot, Ghost, for the donation.
Hey, my pleasure, brother. And I love what you're doing. Like I said, I'm all for people that are trying to make a difference in their home community because that's where it all starts is – we can all sit under here and podcast and do videos and try to reach the masses. But if you're invisible in your own community, then shame on you. And I love what you're doing. And, you know, it's not a whole lot of money, but anything is better than nothing, right?
That's it right there. Like I said, that $25 will go a long way, either way you look at it.
There you go. Well, I appreciate all you're doing. I love having you on here. And, yeah, go check out Black Man with a Gun podcast. Go check out his channel. He's put some really good stuff out there, but Black Man with a Gun podcast has got a chance. I think that there's some people I want you to get in touch with. I don't know if you know Homeboy Tactical or not, He's out of DC area. Great guy. Really cool guy. I've been talking with him. He's someone you definitely need to get a hold of, and we can do that off air, whatever. I can give you his email or whatever. But Homeboy Tactical is he's out of the DC area. I don't know if he's Baltimore or actually in DC or whatever, but he's not too far from you, and he's very, very openly pro gun and does some really good stuff. So might want to talk to him as well, Mike, because I think he could probably help you out a little bit.
Okay, I'll definitely check.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. Really cool guy. Kevin, I know you don't have anything going on except for playing video games all day and trolling chat. So
no, I'm hanging out by the pool, smoking some weed.
Exactly, and, exactly. Play the dog. It's all good.
Writing this book, trolling chats, playing video games,
cleaning his blunderbuss.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yep. And again, shotgun life. Hashtag shotgun life.
Jesus.
Hashtag fun it up.
Okay.
Nah, we're good.
Do you have anything to anything interesting to talk about or no?
No, I'm working on some of the videos coming up on Funker Tactical soon are from the event up in Minnesota. I'm looking forward to seeing that stuff.
Oh, really? I've been looking forward to seeing some of those stuff.
Ah, dude, it's a labor of love. Let's put it that way. But it's coming along. It's a 10-part series, so you can imagine. So just that one whole thing is getting there, and it'll be awesome. Looking forward to having that drop, and just keep an eye on Funker Tactical Facebook and YouTube page. Thanks.
You got it, bud. Clover, what's going on, buddy?
Well, first I've got a question. The black dude, like from he was on yours one time, from like Washington or something.
Yeah, Clifton Robinson.
That's really it.
Cool guy too. Okay. Yeah,
it's the Clifton. I thought it was like Robinson. Okay, I'm writing that down
Clifton
now.
Clifton Robinson is his channel. It's just Clifton Robinson. Yeah, Cliff is a great guy too.
Yeah, we were talking about black man channels and stuff, and it reminded me. I'm like, I need to figure out who that dude was because he's cool.
And he was a great guest. I mean, he really was. I loved having him on. He's busy. So you know, he's got kids and he's busy, but I send him a link every week and he tries to jump on, but at least I get an email from every week a lot of times saying, hey, I can't, whatever, but that's great. But no, it's one of those things where and Mike, I hope this doesn't sound insensitive at all, but you know, there is a void, I think, in the gun community of black men that are pro gun. I think that there is a stigma as people see a black man with a gun, as your podcast is called, scares people. So I love the fact that you're trying to break down those walls of the stereotypes and say, hey, why can't we be a responsible gun owner and all that? So I applaud what you guys are doing, because there is a huge demographic out there of black men with guns, and they're not all criminals, people, but it's nice to see that there's some faces out there that are willing to step up and say, guys, we're normal, everyday people. We just happen to like guns too. And not all of us are criminals. Just like, you know, not all white people are racist, you know, hillbillies from the hills, you know? So it's nice to see that. So I applaud you guys, but yeah, there are some couple of people that you may not be aware of that we've kind of met over the last year that are really cool from different parts of the country that might be interested in at least doing some work with you guys. I don't know how open you are to new faces.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's necessarily you know, I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, I mean, in the black community in general, I mean, men and women. But I think because of the situation and the stigmas and a lot of the other things, it's very rare that you get ones like Mike and Clifton and Hank and, you know, all those other ones that step out of that shell. And Coleon even and whatever. That step out of that cell and brave enough to step into the spotlight. It's fairly easy for a white boy, right?
Yeah. No, it is, because that's what most people think of gun owners is white hillbillies. Yeah, and that's just what they think, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is, but no, it's great. You got some shows coming up and all that stuff, Clover. What you got?
Yeah, tomorrow is the, we'll finish up the youth brackets. Hopefully that's over for a very long time, because that was a long drawn out ordeal. And then recently figured out how to bulk upload some stuff to Podbean. So we'll talk about how to do that. And you can put, you know, a week's worth of podcast all uploaded at the same time and be done instead of this one at a time bull that I've been going through for over a year now. And then Friday, Hill and Matt Gunworks will be on. I actually got to email them. From them shortly before the show tonight, So
nice.
Confirming everything. So we'll talk about their Sturmgewehr rifle and answer some questions and stuff like that. And then before I jump off here, if you're out there, if you're listening, I know that Ghost here is real close to that 1300 mark.
You know, I honestly don't know.
Look like you were in like the you were like 1280 something.
1280 something, yeah.
Yeah, share a few videos, stuff like that, and see if we can get him over that 1300 hump.
I appreciate you. We're going to talk real quick before I get out of here. I've got a couple things that I want to bring up. The June drill of the month is out there. It's El Presidente. It's kind of a different variant of El Presidente. Most people have either shot it or at least know about El Presidente. It's a great drill, but we've done a little bit different variant for it for the month of June. So go ahead. The link is out there in the chat. The whole purpose of drill of the month is to get people shooting. The more you shoot, the more proficient you're going to be. The more proficient you're going to be, the more responsible you're going to be. If you're not out there shooting, then how can we spread the word about guns are good? How can we make sure that we're prepared to defend ourselves and our family? So get out there and shoot. Take someone with you. Either it's a newer shooter or someone who's never shot before. We all remember the first time we pulled that trigger, the adrenaline rush and the excitement we got when we pull that trigger. Take someone there out there. You never know if you can convert them to a gun person just by taking them to the range. Get out there and shoot. Become more proficient. Go find some training. Training is where it's at. Now, it's not for everybody, but if you're interested in that side of things like I am, you can never train so too much. You can always learn different tactics because it's only going to help you. And hopefully you never have to, but it will help you in home and self-defense situations. So the drill of the month this month is El Presidente. Go check it out. I want to say thank you to everybody. If you're a patron of mine, first of all, thank you for everyone that is a patron of mine. I love all you guys. Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Central, right after Matt's chat, we will have the June patron-only chat. So I will put the links over in the Patreon side, and I'll probably send an email to the Hangouts link if you guys want to jump in. But 10 o'clock Central, right after Matt's chat, we will do the June patron-only chat. We just kind of hang out, shoot some shit, and talk a little fun stuff. We had a great time on Clover's patron-only chat last night. I thought it was a great conversation for a lot of different people. But, yeah, come out there and we'll hang out. We just kind of sit around, basically sit around the campfire, drinking a couple beers, smoking cigarettes, and making s'mores is basically what I don't think of it. It's hanging out, just talking as friends and all that. So, yeah, Mel says do it. Do the drill. The two rounds. Yep, that's El Presidente for you. But Juice says Matt's chats have donuts and sprinkles. Well, that's why I'm not going to try to compete against donuts and sprinkles. That's why I'm going to do it right after Matt's chat. So tomorrow night is Matt's chat. It is the Guns and Politics. This is not the Weekend Geek. It is the Guns and Politics. So check that out. Check Clover out tomorrow at 7 Central. Thursday at 10 Central every night on gunchannels.com. You have the Daily Gun Show at midnight Eastern. Go check that out. Thank you for, A&A says, been asking everyone this. When you shoot the shit, does it make it holy shit? It all depends on what kind of consistency your shit is. I don't even want to go there, so no. Never mind. We went down a little rabbit hole there. But no, go check out Gun Channels. Go check out all these guys on the panel. Smeggy 42, MW Tactical, Kevin the Tac Daddies, or you can go check out Funker Tactical, and then obviously Clover Tac. Go check out, I ran into a cool podcast today. Clover and I was on, I think, Garage Guns on there for a little bit. Mel was on there. ConcealedCarry.com over on Facebook went live for a couple hours, and really cool guys over there doing some good work with concealed carry talk and laws and all that. If you haven't checked it out, go check them out. I really enjoyed that. You guys have anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think they're copying my videos. I went over and checked out their YouTube channel, and like the last six videos are same stuff I was doing, it seemed like. It's crazy.
Well, you know, you are kind of a big deal. So, I mean, if anyone that wants to become a big deal, they're gonna have to copy you. So I would take that as a compliment, Clove. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
All NW out there, Mike's out there. Yeah, go check out his stuff. He's got a couple projects, not only the ones who help the sheriffs, three sheriffs to learn jiu-jitsu for a year free of charge. He's also working on voter registration. He's bringing KD in to South Carolina to do some training. So he's doing a couple raffles to help offset those expenses. And if you're not familiar with Kevin Dixie, awesome, awesome training he's got out of Missouri. But he's going to bring him into South Carolina, so he's got some raffles. Go check out MW Tactical. Go check out, I mean, I guess you can go check out Kevin the Tack Daddy if you want. Right now, he's just smoking weed right now.
Unsub him. Just
no,
unsub
me.
Unsub him. Yeah, unsub. But
this
go
Mike
sub
guy seems good. Yeah, this Mike guy seems good. Go be that. Be a bad
guy. My cool guy. My cool guy.
No doubt.
Yeah, right on. And he does a lot of training also. So he's a veteran. So if you guys are, you know, I'm big on veterans being one. He's a veteran of 20 plus years, just retired not too long ago. So anyways, guys, thank you for everyone for joining in. Go check out Hit or Miss on YouTube. It's Night Strike 1 on gunchannels.com. It is Hit or Miss. Go check them out. And obviously go end your day tonight at midnight Eastern with the Daily Gun Show with G Webbs and his crazy panels of knuckleheads. Other than that, guys, go turn the camera on. Go and talk to someone about guns every day, because the more conversations we have, the more people out there are talking about it, the stronger our community is. Thank you for always watching. Thank you for always supporting the channel. And we'll see you next week on Tactical Tuesday. Semper Fi.